Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
The Apostle Paul, who we respect greatly as we look at, as Christians, we respect him. His conversion, his walk with the Lord, his inspired writing by the Holy Spirit. He wrote something to the church in Rome and he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." You got that? Power? The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles or all other nationalities or heritage of people groups. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, to that church he wrote this letter, and in that letter here's a couple of what we call verses. Chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of God's Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's or human's wisdom, but rather our faith would rest on God's power." Listen, this is very important, what Paul's writing. It's that this whole faith in Christ is not founded on the wisdom of men or the intellect of humanity. And God has gifted humanity and he's given us the ability to think. And our minds are very much a part of who we are. And our minds are, when redeemed, they are very much a part of our Christian walk and our faith. And we are supposed to understand. But it does not, our faith in God does not rest upon the things that are just explicable, things that can be explained. It rests upon the power of God's Spirit. It's not just persuasive words. You and I have heard persuasive people speak, and it has had measures of influence. I have also sat and heard persuasive people speak, but it did not persuade me for any type of transformation. But God's Spirit has power to come in and transform us, change us, make us different, and empower us to do things beyond that which we could do in our natural ability. Paul says, "I didn't come to you with, you know, persuasive words and a bunch of wisdom. I came to you demonstrating that God's Spirit cares for you and has power to do things. Heal people, change people, speak to people, break the power of the devil, and to bring life to people. I showed up with the power of God's Spirit demonstrating Him to you. And some of those things they're not things that we can explain. We can describe them. We can try to interject. You see, here's a little bit of a pitfall for us as Christians. We are coming into a day and have been in this day, some longer than others, where we are comfortable, we have become comfortable with the idea of God and who He is and all that He can do, and comfortable with that not having any demonstration. Comfortable to come to church and come to a service and hear, you know, if you go to another church, hear really good sermons. And here, if you go to this church, you come and you can hear some really great music. And you can meet some marvelous people. And it's a really nice time. But we have grown comfortable coming and going from this place without any demonstration of God's Spirit's power. We grow comfortable with that. And we start to call that norm. Normal. That was short for normal. I have to remember there's a couple of norms in this church. We call it normal. And we call it good. Because, and the reason we fall into this is, you know what? Part of it is, we don't want the world, we don't want to be subjected to their ridicule. Or we don't want to subject ourselves to having to try to explain something in, of God's Spirit and demonstration that, frankly, we cannot explain. You can describe it. You can maybe give little hints around it. But there are things that God does in His demonstrative power of the life of His Spirit to us that you and I cannot describe. That we cannot explain. We can describe a person being healed and what happened at the event, but I cannot explain how it happens. We look at Pentecost Sunday, and we look at Pentecost, and God's Spirit was outpoured. And Luke, the nice doctor, he describes it with great detail and marvelous in Acts chapter 2 of what happened on the day of Pentecost. He describes it, but he does not explain how people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and when they were baptized, the physical proof that that happened spiritually is that they began to speak in another language, or what we call tongues. Now, he describes it, and we read it, and our mind understands it, but he does not explain how that happens. And so we get very uncomfortable, though we embrace God's Word, because we don't want to really ever say, oh God, I don't like this part of your Word, or I don't believe this part of your Word. No, we are not that bold. So we embrace it all, and we talk about it, and talk around it, and we ignore it a little bit, and then we get a little uncomfortable when we come to our distinctive as Pentecostal people, or full gospel people. Because how do you explain that to somebody? How do you explain how that happens? Well, see, you stand there, and God's Spirit comes on you, and you know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and He indwells you like that when you speak another language you don't understand. To the world, that's this. What? You, what? So we feel this responsibility so that we don't look foolish to try to explain that. So we go into what the benefits might be. And those are good things. We find them in Scripture, you know. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues. And when that happens, yeah, it edifies you and it builds you up. And it helps you pray more effectively and you pray unhindered. And it can be a sign when it's used as a gift, as a sign to the unbeliever. And we can go through the list. And they're all good things and right things. And they're based upon His Word. But the fact of the matter is, it's never explained. The interesting thing is, something that is explained to us in the way of salvation and Jesus coming and His blood and the Son of God, and you look through the Old Testament how the stage is being set, and Jesus coming as the Savior, and He was crucified, dead and buried, and rose again, and you talk about the power of the blood that it takes for the forgiveness of sin, and how God loves us, and all of that, the preaching of the cross, that which we're not ashamed of, is actually the thing that the Scripture calls foolishness. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where tongues was called foolishness. But yet, the preaching of the cross and the gospel, that's called foolishness. But that we're not embarrassed of. And yet, when it comes to tongues, there's a little embarrassment. It's like, oh no, I'm going to bring a friend to church. Please, God, if you ever heard any prayer, no gifts and tongues today. Hallelujah. I love you. Why is that? We hear those old stories. I am not, in my mind, anywhere near the man of faith that Peter was. So I want to tell you something in this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit and Pentecost If you're going to ask me to explain, I can tell you some of the benefits, and I mentioned just some of those briefly. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, and one, you know, and plus God, the Father promised it, and if we ask, He fills us. And Jesus said, it's important for me to, you know, ascend and go so the Holy Spirit can come. I mean, Jesus knew that it was important. Jesus told them that believers will speak in a new language. All these things are told, and they're in the Scripture. Sorry, you can't pick and choose. It's the whole deal. I am not the man of faith that Peter is. So how is it that I could have the audacity to try to explain to you tongues when Peter, who was there on the day of Pentecost? Now, if you don't know about Pentecost, I need to take a time to read to you what happened on Pentecost. And then we're going to look at how Peter, he didn't explain it. Chapter 2 of Acts, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. So there's audible stuff going on. There's visual stuff going on. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Just a little side note. If anybody ever tells you, repeat after me and you want to be filled and all this kind of stuff, I'm going to tell you something. Don't go down that road. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us. Jesus is the baptizer. Seek Jesus. Seek Him, the baptizer. And when you seek the baptizer, He will baptize you. Okay? Now, they began to speak in other tongues. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem where this happened, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. I wonder what's going on. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were utterly amazed and asked, are these not men who are speaking? Are they not Galileans? How is it then that each of us who are from other area, I'm paraphrasing so you can understand all this, not that you can't, but I'm a preacher. The Holy Spirit's outpoured on these people who were together praying regularly. They began to speak in other tongues. The crowd, people heard this, they got together and said, what's going on? And people were visiting from outside that region who spoke a different language than the language of the Galileans in this region. And they hear these people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking in their language where they're from. And they said, how can this be? How come I come here and I hear these Galileans speak in my language, and what they're saying is that they are declaring God's marvelous work and wonderful ways and who He is? Though the Galileans didn't know what they were saying, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in a different tongue, and the tongue that God outpoured in some of them, there were people from those different regions or countries who were there, and said, hey, how can this be? They're speaking my language and they're declaring God. Now those who were from the area who didn't speak those languages, they made fun of them. And it just says they had too much to drink. They're drunk. They're babbling. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Then Peter stood up and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Now he explains, but he does not explain. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So here's the deal. We can describe tongues. We can tell its benefits. But I cannot tell you how it happens other than the Holy Spirit enables and Jesus baptizes. So Peter, in his explanation, what he says was, oh, let me just tell you this. They're not drunk. Okay?
I'll explain it this way. This is what the prophet Joel said would happen.
So there's my explanation to you. You have questions about tongues, and we can talk, and we can dialogue, and I can share with you scripture, and I can give you accounts to read, and we can talk about what we've observed and how we see. But how it happens in the person, I cannot tell you that. It is supernatural. It is God. It is what He chose. He took the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. His power, His demonstrative power, His demonstration is greater than the wisdom of men. So if you want to ask me, well, how does this happen? I'm just going to do what Peter did. Well, this is what Joel said would happen. Oh, okay. He said, this is what the prophet Joel talked about. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Look at the person next to you and say, that's you. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders. And it goes on. Signs and wonders. We as Christians, we pray for them because we want to see them. I know you have a heart for the person to be healed and all of that because you care for them and it sounds really holy, but the bottom line is you want to see it. His demonstration. And you can go and describe it and you can tell people and it's wonderful, but you cannot tell them how that happened. You can describe the events. It's God. It's Him. This baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Listen, Peter explained it this way, and he's a great man of faith. I mean, this is the guy whose shadow passed over sick people and they got healed. He just said, I'll explain it to you. This is what the prophet said would happen. Don't fall into the trap that you have to explain every supernatural thing that God does. Just point His direction. Understand this. The Holy Spirit has the capability of answering all the questions that you and I cannot answer. He loves them even more than you and I do. Let them voice the question. And you can share scripture. And you can tell the benefits. And you can just say, it's just something that God promises. See, in Acts chapter 19, the great apostle Paul, he meets up with some believers who are under Apollos' teaching. And Apollos, when he was teaching, he only had knowledge at that time of the baptism of John, which is the baptism of repentance, the forgiveness of sin, the turning around and changing your life. And Paul says to these believers, what baptism did you receive? The baptism of John. And he understood because before Paul was there, Apollos was there. And if you go back to chapter 18, it talks about Apollos and his teaching. But he did not understand or have understanding of the baptism of the Spirit. So Paul says to these guys, well, what baptism did you receive? The baptism of John, the baptism of repentance. Paul's like, hey, that's great. Praise God. Did you hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, no, we've not heard of such baptism. Now, in what's recorded, and I'm sure there's other words and dialogue going on, but if it's something really important and really detailed, is really, it would have been in there. That's how I look at that. And Paul says, you haven't heard about it? Well, it's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's about 12 men in all. So he does this. He lays hands on them, prays for them, and they begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. So he just goes down, you didn't hear the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, here, I'm going to pray for you. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And down the line or in the circle or however he touched them. And as he prayed for them and laid hands on them, they began to speak in tongues and prophesy, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were infilled with this baptism of the Spirit, and the proof was that they began to speak in tongues, and they prophesied. If you're a believer here this morning in Jesus Christ, and you speak in tongues, I want to talk to you first. Understand that the Holy Spirit enabled you. This had nothing to do with your righteousness. So because you speak in tongues, does not mean that you are a grade A Christian. And those who don't are, well, B, maybe. Nothing to do with your righteousness. It has to do with the righteousness of Jesus. For everybody. And if you are here and you've been a believer and you do not speak in tongues, you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you want to argue, well, the Holy Spirit's in my life, and you want to get all attacking me and all that, I just say, whoa, wait a minute. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what it says. So don't get vengeful and hateful and aggressive trying to defend who you are in Jesus even though you don't speak in tongues. Wait a minute. Whoa. Nobody said you're second rate. Nobody said you're grade B. Whoa. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues at baptism, it is a promise of the Father he gives to those who ask. And the Holy Spirit enables. And Jesus says, baptize the Holy Ghost of fire. Listen, Jesus said they will speak in new tongues. Listen, hey, this is what it says. There is, and understand that that is not the pinnacle in our walk with Christ. It's not like, oh, I got it. Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not about speaking in tongues. It is the evidence that the baptism of the Spirit has taken place in a person's life. But the baptism is not about tongues. That's just a sign, a physical sign that it took place. The baptism is about power. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my martyrs in Jerusalem, Judea. I know you're saying, well, no, it doesn't say martyrs, it says witnesses. You look up the word. It's martyrs. It is the power of God to not shrink back from death for the sake of the gospel. It is the power to live beyond your natural tendency. It is the power of God that is beyond human commitment and human resource. It is the power of God to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It is the power to give your life, not just to death, but the little ways we give our life, like putting aside my personal preference for the sake of my son. That's a power. Because my natural tendency is kick him in the back of the lap. I'm going to buy me a new putter. It's summer. I got to fit golf in now and then. It is about the power to be transformed in a way that we could never transform on our own. It is the power to pray for someone that God answers and he gives to them that blessing which we are seeking for them. Amen. That I cannot give them from myself. I do not have it. He has to give it. It's the power to do things beyond our natural capabilities. Listen, I cannot bring refreshing to people who stand here and say, I need refreshing in my walk with the Lord. I need refreshing. I can come and pray. I can lay a hand on you. But God's the one who gives it. I cannot give you that. I can just stand with you. And if you received that this morning and God did something in you, it's from him. It's the anointing, the empowerment to be a part of that, because I could lay a hand on you and nothing could happen. If I lay a hand on you and something happens, it is the anointing and the power of God. And that's, it's about the power. There's so much, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's about power. It's about power. It is about power. It's not about tongues. Tongues is the physical evidence that proves that the baptism took place. Why God chose that? I don't know that. It does not tell me. Well, I don't like the way he chose it. Hey, take it up with him. You like losing arguments? Have at it. It may sound like foolishness to you, but those who are being saved and those who are being baptized, oh, it is glorious. And why am I trying so hard for the world to like me? I want to win their soul and I want them to like me, that they would find Christ. But I am not looking for the world's approval. Hello, church. We're not looking for the world's approval. Let me remind you, you are not looking for their approval. This gospel is based upon the power of His Spirit, not what you can explain to them to make sense. Proclaim it. Declare it. Tell what you can. But leave room for the Holy Spirit to do the work. You did not come because the gospel made sense. You came because God's Spirit moved on your heart. It is not what someone said. Oh, you heard it. It maybe made some sense. But it took of the work of God's Spirit. It takes a work of His Spirit to transform us, to bring us to salvation. Don't get all tripped up over this tongues thing. And when I say thing, I'm not being irreverent. It is important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because of this power. Don't trip up over the evidence if you're going to speak in tongues. And besides this, you know, why are we asking the questions like, well, I believe in Christ, and why do I have to speak in tongues? I mean, what's the real benefit for me? And, I don't know. Whoa, time out. You're asking the wrong question. You want us to explain that to you? Let us ask a question. My question is, if this is what God decided, and this is what He wants to do, why not? Let me ask the question. Give me a chance to ask the question. If it was so important that Jesus talks about it and the Father says He promises it and the book of Acts comes and this is what happens, and Jesus said it's so important that I got to go so this can happen, then what am I like? Yeah, well, you know, just because we can't explain it, how it happens. There are things we are supposed to understand and we can think about. Absolutely, no question. Because our mind is supposed to be transformed, you know, renewed. Romans chapter 12. We don't conform to the patterns of this world anymore. The patterns of the world say, you explain all this to me and then I'll see. That is the pattern of the world. When it comes to God as a Christian, we need our minds transformed. If that's part of God, whether I totally understand it or not, if that's Him, then you show me, you reveal to me, and I'm going to embrace it, and I'm going to be open to it. Because it's from you. It's in your Word. It's a fullness. So you know what? Okay. It's called faith. It's called following. It's called submitting yourself to Him. Called receiving the promises that He died for to give to us. Do you know why He does things to confound, takes the weak things or foolish things in humans' minds to confound them? So that you know why? It's real simple. Paul writes it in 1 Corinthians. He says, it is so that no person could ever glory or take credit for it. Those of you baptized in the Holy Spirit with the physical evidence of speaking in tongues, you can't take credit for it. His idea, His way, His Spirit. You want signs and wonders? Then let Him do it. He's God, and He is not confined to the natural principles. The only thing He is restrained and confined by is the human will, and He chose to put that in place. If God's made promises to you, and you want to grow in your walk, then pursue Him. Pursue all that He has and who He is and what He wants to do. And be transformed and renewing of your mind and stop thinking like the world thinks. We care about the world, we care about the people, absolutely no question, but we are not looking for their approval. You are looking for God's approval, a workman that would not be ashamed. In the end, could hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in." So don't trip over this Pentecost thing. It's real simple. He's God, He's supernatural, He chose it, and I'm going to follow Him. And this is what the prophet Joel talked about. Hallelujah. Okay? We can look the benefits. Do not trip over this. Do not trip over this. You will become like those who tripped over the cornerstone, Jesus. They couldn't figure Him out. They didn't want to make sense. They didn't want to have to change. You want the demonstration of God's Spirit to show up and do things in people. And you want God's power to change you inside and you become a different person. You become nicer and more likable and all of that. But why is it that we're hesitant about God's demonstrative power of His Spirit to come and do something in our life that brings great spiritual blessing that He can receive glory and credit for? But yet we can't explain, and it has to do with the demonstrative change in us. And we go, I don't know. Let your revival fire fall. Consume me with your fire, your passion, your presence, your desire. Let your kingdom come. Either we need to change the words of our choruses or we need to start to believe what we're singing. Amen. And I want you to know, if you're going to change the words to the choruses and go backwards from here, look for a new pastor. Because I'm not staying for that. You want to back off the full gospel? I'm not staying. And that's not a threat. I'm just telling you, you and I will not agree. And I cannot agree with you because then we'd both be wrong. I love that line. Listen, do not let these things scare you. This is about God's blessing, empowerment, filling your life, giving you greater revelation. Hear this. Hear this again, what I said at the beginning. This is an experiential gospel. This is not about read it, engage your cognitive ability, and you can create this wonderful moral philosophy and outwardly agree with Jesus in your thinking. This is about all of that dropping down and also getting a hold of our heart and our inmost being and transforming us as a person and in our spirit. Seek the baptizer. Seek Jesus. Don't be afraid of Him. He's the one who saved you and loves you. He's going to pour blessing into your life. He's going to give you greater spiritual understanding as you seek Him, more revelation. He's going to disciple you. That's where He walks with you, picks you up, dusts you off, directs you, corrects you, encourages you, heals you, lets you walk, and He's watching and He's there. And you're going to learn by falling down and getting up, and you're going to learn how to be coached through disappointment and hurt and all the different things of life. And He's going to continue to pour out His power into you so that you can overcome. It's about His power. It's about that demonstration of His power. Do not get tripped up over the physical evidences that go along with his spiritual work. Don't trip over that. Okay? I'm sorry if Pentecostal people somewhere along the line made tongues the issue. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for tongues. I'm apologizing that we have looked at tongues and communicated it in an inappropriate fashion. I encourage you, seek him. Ask him to baptize you. It's important to him. And let him fill you with his spirit, with the evidence and all the power of God flowing in and through your life is possible. He's capable of doing this in and through your life. It's not about tongues. It's about the baptism of power.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.